So maybe some of you have a nativity set at home, and you might have animals, and you might have Joseph and Mary and maybe a shepherd and a manger with baby Jesus in it. Which one is your favorite? When you put them out, which one is your favorite one? Well, whichever one may be your favorite, you're probably one of those people that gets a warm glow whenever you pass one of these nativity sets on a lawn or a home or a church. We devour Luke's nativity scene like it's kind of spiritual comfort food, like chicken soup for the beleaguered soul. Beleaguered because we're not at peace. And the promise of Christmas is all about peace. Peace for you, peace on earth. The prophets, like Isaiah, have promised that when God comes, it will be to bring peace. Roll up those armies on the earth and bring in the heavenly hosts, the armies of angels. And Luke's nativity story provides us with those heavenly hosts. But they're not fighting, they're singing. Singing of peace. But the story that he tells goes on because it's set in a time and a place that's where there's anything but real peace on earth, the peace that results from justice. The peace in Jesus and Mary and Joseph's time was kept through oppression and harsh enforcement. And Luke is not shy about naming those rulers in this world who were responsible for maintaining and enforcing the Pax Romana. What's more, Luke sets his story amid a census, an act of ordering the people around. Register, count, tax. Done par excellence. The power of the state in all its glory. And into this huge machine of ultimate power, Luke tells of a pregnancy and a birth. A story that happened hundreds of times that month. A nondescript couple having their first child away from home because of faceless edicts and things and rules and traffic and all kinds of things they can't control. And yet, this birth changed the world into which you were born and in which you live, shaped by this birth. And Christmas invites you to let it change you too, yet again. It changed the world we live in by challenging the Pax Romana of Caesar Augustus. So Luke's story is a tale of two cities, or maybe better said, a clash of two kingdoms. For some, it was the best of times. For others, the worst of times. When Jesus was born, there were a lot of people that were comfortable with the way world the way it was. And for them, it was the best of times. They benefited from Roman rule. They liked the order, and they liked benefiting from the trade that it allowed, even if they had to compromise their principles. But other people lived in fear of Roman power, afraid that if they couldn't come up with the tax money, if they didn't make it to the census center, that they'd be sold into slavery or crucified and their little possessions would be confiscated. Rome proclaimed Julius Caesar and Augustus Caesar and the emperors along the line proclaimed them as savior, coming with power and might to protect the privileged. Be afraid. The invading kingdom comes in a baby, born poor, and he says, here's your savior. Don't be afraid. Which one will you choose? Because it matters. In Luke's tale, we don't have God coming in Jesus to make things just a little better, a little more bearable. No, it's radical. It's revolutionary. God came to turn over the tables and create a whole new system to resurrect and redeem us rather than just merely rehabilitate us, to change us completely. You may fear that the you are can't make a real difference, that you really can't change anything permanently for the better or for good, that the world just keeps grinding on, that nothing you do is going to change the course of history. And in Jesus, God's Savior says, don't be afraid. You're of more value than anything else in the creation. You, little human, born a helpless baby yourself, are of so much worth to me that I became like you. I sit with you and eat with you and listen to you. And others see my love in every act of kindness that you do. So don't be afraid that you're worthless in history. And even better, guess what? It's not about you. It's about my love for the world, says God. In Jesus, God is doing the work of making you worthy of living and serving in his new administration. You're invited into a position in it, just like the shepherds were. The shepherds lived in the worst of times from their standpoint. They were regarded as thieves, as dirty, as too impure to be allowed in the synagogue worship. To them, this is good news, a savior who gives you God's acceptance, God's peace, and reconciliation. So if for you this is the worst of times, then good news to you is born a savior. Now the shepherds had a choice of what to do with this news, just as you do. The shepherds were open to acting on the good news that God had invited them, because they weren't regarded as welcome to God and to God's people. To really hear good news as good, you need to need it. You need to want saved from your worst times. And acting on new information that changes everything, acting on it is thrilling. And also a little bit scary, like a birth. The role of being a parent is thrilling and scary. And it changes everything. Scary and thrilling to go from believing that your life is just random, going into oblivion, to go to believing that there's more to this life than meets the eye. Scary and thrilling to hold on to the hope that despite all appearances, you are worthy of love. And this good news is for you and for all people. In Christ, we have the promise that God will not stop until each and every one of us has been embraced and caught up in God's tremendous love. You and each one, just as we are. Jesus has come to make peace with the real you. Peace. He brings it in the meal that he brought us. He comes in the manger that you make with your hands and invites you to receive him and all that he has to offer, offers you and everyone on earth peace on earth, goodwill from God. And for that, we can all say, thanks be to God. Amen.